quality health care. Mona Rivera, ABC News.
Fox Sports Trending now.
Ezekiel Elliott is leaving Cabo San Lucas and heading to Dallas. That's according to reports. Ezekiel could be close to a new contract with the Dallas Cowboys. An ESPN report quoted a source saying that a deal is very close between the two sides. Should also be noted that ProFootballTalk.com reported earlier today that the numbers on a deal could be a six-year contract worth $90 million for Elliott. Nothing official, though. This is official. Cowboys did give right tackle Lyle Collins a new contract, $50 million over 5 years with $35 million guaranteed, according to reports. Redskins holdout tackle Trent Williams reportedly could be returning to the team as soon as next week. His former teammate D'Angelo Hall said on Hail to the Podcast that Williams could return as soon as week two. Top seven from last week's AP Top 25 College Football poll remain the same. Clemson and Alabama still 1-2. I'm Dan Byer.
This is Bullseye on Weather on AM 930 and the all-new 100.3 FM. Scattered showers overnight and early Wednesday. Our low tonight, 65. Wednesday's high, 75.
Sunny and 79 now.
It's Bulls Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Space Odyssey leading us into the 4 o'clock hour. Matt Douglas acts like he hates the woo, yet you know what he was doing? He was wooing up a storm when he heard this song hit. He loves the Nature Boy. He's just afraid to admit it on the air. Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and on the new 100.3 FM. We'll quit stalling. Let's head to the hotline. For the first time today, we bring in an Emmy Award winner, our good buddy, our good pal, Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV down in Columbus. Dunny, how are you on this fine Tuesday afternoon, my friend?
I'm doing great. Nice and warm down here in the state's capital. How are you guys doing up there?
More of the same, surprisingly. Yeah. We're in the low 80s at this point, although it looks like that might be the last time we see those kinds of temperatures for a while. But let's get into this weekend's festivities with the Buckeyes taking care of business in the 2019 Lidlifter 45-24 over Florida Atlantic. Dunny, what were some of your initial takeaways from the opening day win?
How quick and explosive the Buckeyes got off to for their start. The first there are 6:50 left in the first quarter. Buckeyes were already up 28-0 or 28-3. And this was on both sides of the ball. On offense, obviously, had the play of Justin Fields and accounting for four touchdowns and, you know, the first 7-8 minutes of the game. And then the defense and Chase Young and how he was playing and the entire defense in general. The defense gave up negative 4 yards in the entire first half of that ball game on Saturday against the Owls. That first half was really something to witness.
Well, taking a look at Justin Fields, and obviously he's the guy that was under the microscope the most this weekend simply because you never know, given all the hype, how a guy's going to play in his first game under center. What was the most impressive aspect of his game on Saturday afternoon?
It wasn't his decision-making because there were still some plays where, you know, he'd like to have back, and he said so today during his news conference. I would just say his ability to run and throw. You know, it's one thing to say you run a 4.38 40 and you get it timed at that, but when you see it on the football field and like he showed off his speed in his first touchdown, a 51-yard run, that was something to witness. And then his ability to throw the ball. On the money, he had a few drops. 18 of 25 for 234, four touchdowns, and there probably could have been a few more if they were either on target or they weren't dropped. I thought he had a very, very good starting debut as a Buckeye.
Well, he was one of many Buckeyes making their debut on Saturday. Which of the seven true freshmen that we saw play on Saturday made the biggest impact in your mind?
I don't know. The freshman I really expected to see really didn't show out a whole lot. Zach Harrison, I mean, Garrett Wilson. I think they played, all of them played kind of like freshmen. They had some glimpses, But then they, you know, they had some down parts. But that's also why they're only freshmen. And their playing time is only going to improve from here. They'll learn and they'll get coached up for next week against Cincinnati and be ready to go. But I don't think really there was one or two freshmen that really shined in the game against FAU.
Donnie, how much of this can you really take from this game is fact and things guys need to work on? It seemed FAU was awfully confused at times on the defensive side of the ball. It just wasn't a real test for the Buckeyes this time around.
I think what you can take away from this game was the fact that the Buckeyes have the ability to be explosive with what we saw in the first quarter. They also have the ability to be flat like you saw in the second and third quarter, where they just had nothing. There was, I think, a stretch of nine series when they didn't score or something like that, where I think it was a little nerve-wracking as a Buckeye fan when you start watching that going, okay, how come they're not able to move the ball? FAU was giving them all sorts of looks. At one point, they had three down linemen at the snap. Those down linemen moved back into coverage, and the linebackers came up and blitzed. That's something I've never seen before. That's something that Kirk Barton, who we have on Waterwell Sports on Saturday nights after the games, he had never seen before. And so, you know, FAU was doing a bunch of stuff where you kind of stretch your head. It's like, that's different. That you expect that with Lane Kiffin.
Sure.
I think the Buckeyes, there's a lot more the Buckeyes can take out of this one than people think because of just the little intricacy that FAU threw at them.
Sean Dunnigan, WBNS-TV down in Columbus, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, as far as the offensive formations and schemes went, lots of multi-tight end sets on Saturday. Not sure if that's something that you expect to change or stay the same. But also, you told us, you know, before coming on the air, a lot less of the Buckeyes running out of the shotgun, a lot more quarterback under center formations as well. You expect that to stay the same, or was that Saturday specific?
The under center part, quarterback lining up under center, I expect that to stay the same. Ryan Day said in this news conference today that he was trying to hide the fact how many times they would actually be under center. It was a lot more than anybody was expecting. When we asked Jeremy Ruckert after the game on Saturday night, he's the tight end that caught the two touchdown passes. We asked him, you know, is this part of the scheme or is this just part of just playing FAU and what the coaches saw against FAU? He said a little bit of both. So just from that, I would say I wouldn't expect that kind of production day from the tight ends. But it's good to see that that's there and that they have the ability to perform like they did on Saturday afternoon.
You mentioned the defense was lights out in that first half. You talked about how they had held Florida Atlantic to -4 yards of total offense during the half. Your thoughts on the defensive performance altogether? Because in the second half, it seemed like they maybe let up a little bit. Not uncommon when you get out to a big lead like that. But it wasn't like it was a situation where they put a lot of the backups in. They certainly did play a lot of guys. I think just over 70 saw action in the contest. But what were your thoughts on this defense on the whole?
I think, yeah, in the second half, it was almost as if, let's just play our base, let's play everything in front of us, let's not let anybody behind us. And I kind of looked a little bit like last year. The first half, when you saw what Ohio State's defense has the ability to look like, it's scary. And they're not even 100% healthy, because you had Jonathan Cooper, who's going to be starting on the opposite end of Chase Young. He was out for this week and probably out for this coming week against Cincinnati. When you put him in there, how the heck do you block all these people? That's one of these things that's going to be very interesting to see is how this defense performs week in and week out. If you remember, go back to last year, the opening game against Oregon State, they gave up big plays. I think the biggest play they gave up was a 38-yard pass play that had a broken tackle. Other than that, I think everything else was kept under 20 yards. That's a very impressive day for the Buckeye defense, especially when you look at what they gave up last year.
Looking ahead to Saturday's game against Cincinnati, who or what poses the biggest threat to the Buckeyes this weekend?
Remember the name Michael Warren. Michael Warren is the Bearcats running back. He is an old school power back that will run it down your throat. He wants contact. He thrives off contact. He's going to be looking to get contact and make guys miss. That is the kind of runner that Michael Warren is. When we asked defensive line coach Larry Johnson about it today. How do you coach them up any, your team up any different? He said you don't really coach them up any different, but you tell them, hey, you got to get hats on the ball. It's not going to be one guy that's going to tackle him. It's going to be two or three. It's going to be gang tackling to try to get Michael Warren down. That's going to be the biggest threat to the Buckeyes this Saturday, is how they can deal with Michael Warren and getting him on the ground.
Does rivalry have a catchy name like the Columbus Crew FC Cincinnati rivalry?
No, there is no hell is real. This is one of those matchups and one of those rivalries that you don't really think of, but it kind of is. And Drew Christman, the punter for the Buckeyes, who's from Cincinnati, called it today. This is pretty much a battle for Ohio. Ohio State and Cincinnati don't play too much when it comes to football. I remember in the 02 championship year, they played down at Paul Brown Stadium when it was newer. They played a couple once or twice before or since then. But this Cincinnati game is always a tough game. You have a lot of players from Ohio, a lot of guys from Central Ohio, who look at this game as kind of like their benchmark. They want to play all out. They have a chip on their shoulder. They think they should have been at Ohio State. Maybe they didn't get that offer. Maybe they didn't get that look. They want to prove to the coaches that, hey, I deserve the look.
Dunny, which Buckeye is under the most amount of pressure heading into this Saturday's game?
What position is always under the most pressure? That's the quarterback. Can Justin Fields do it again? He played a great game on Saturday. Can he do it twice in a row? Can he be as consistent as he wants to be? Because that's his biggest thing that he says, is he wants to be more consistent. Can he start that run? Can he start a run of consistency 2 weeks in a row and then 3 weeks in a row and then so on and so forth? The other player is J.K. Dobbins. He put the ball on the ground, which Coach Ryan Day said was inexcusable. He made a spin. He became highly he put the ball out where he shouldn't have been, and it got knocked out. And you can't have that as a young team. You cannot put the ball on the ground. And he did that. He and the Buckeyes paid the price by giving FAU a short field. Can he hang on to the ball? Can he get 100 yards rushing? Can he get a touchdown? We haven't had a chance to talk to J.K. Dobbins yet about how he felt, how his play was. But I can already tell you, just talking to him in the preseason, he did not like the way he played on Saturday night.
Good deal. Well, Dunny, going to be interesting on Saturday. They'll kick it at high noon, and, of course, we will have it for you here on AM 930 WEOL and the new 100.3 FM, the Buckeyes and Bearcats, Saturday at noon. Dunny, as always, we appreciate the time, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys next week.
All right, Dunny, take care. Again, that's Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's take a break. We have This Day in Indians History coming your way next. Matt will let us know what's happening with the local news. We've got Your Money Now. And at 4:40, Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram joins us on the local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers here on AM 930 WEOL and the new 100.3 FM.
Hi, this is Jim Rosenhaus with This Date in Cleveland Indians History. We take you back to this date, September the 3rd, 1993.